Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We have some new faces, some old familiar faces, so let's do introductions around.
Marie.
Jeffrey.
Wendy.
And Leslie.
And Will.
Hila.
Samia.
Yap.
Paul.
Kyle.
Charlene.
Nico.
Ellie.
Ron.
And Angie. So, been here before? No, you look familiar.
Never met you before, been here before.
Where do you sit usually?
I haven't sat in about 8 years, but I studied with the bottom end many years.
I see. Welcome. And you, how did you hear about us?
Actually, from Jeff.
I see.
I had met him one day and he told me about it. So, excited.
Welcome. Yeah. So, we're right in the beginning of a new thing and we don't know what the new thing is yet. So, we have a tradition of studying from something, and usually it's an original something, and I brought what was suggested a few months ago in various forms to introduce them to you, I think is the best way to describe it. One is the Platform Sutra, which is the only sutra besides the Vimalakirti Sutra that is called a sutra without Buddha's actual giving the talks. we just did the Vimalakirti Sutra, which was about a lay person lying in bed and entertaining all the great bodhisattvas. This is very different. This is a real person who actually lived, and his teaching place still exists in the south of China. So, and it's very profound, and for us, for our Soto Zen tradition, it's a very important one to know, or to know about. Because this teacher was, presumably, they say, did not know how to read or write, and heard the Diamond Sutra being recited as he was carrying firewood home to his mother. And he heard something in that sutra that he needed to know more about. And he asked, where did it come from? And he said, oh, 1,000 miles up north, there's a teacher. And he teaches this. So he gave his mother the load of wood and took off. Which many people think is a horrifying thing to do, but that's the way it was. And he... as a very modest person, became the transmitted teacher who went off then, sent off by the great teacher up in the north to pass the word on. So these are his words, and it's his story, and then it's his teachings. And there are many different versions of it. And Judy is putting together a book like this of Coben's talks about it, which hasn't been printed up yet. But that will be a very wonderful thing when it comes to pass. This is Red Pine, who is always very fine to... work from, because he has so many other teachings, other teachers who are responding to the words of, in this case, Wineng. And this is very charming and touching because Weenang always starts out addressing people as good friends. Good friends. No form means externally to be free from all forms. If you can just be free of forms, the body of your nature is perfectly pure. This is why we take no form as our body. This is the kind of teaching that he gives. It's very direct, and although it sounds very simple, it has a lot in it to consider over a lifetime, I would say. So this is one possibility. Someone suggested the Zen teaching of homeless Kodo Suwaki Roshi, who was the teacher of Uchiyama Roshi, and with whom Koban sat in Kyoto when he was a university student, and who had a great effect on Koban and his way of teaching. Kodo was called homeless Kodo because he didn't stick anywhere until he was finally persuaded to teach at Antaiji, a little tiny temple outside of Kyoto, which is where Koban met him. He was kind of outrageous. He said things that other people didn't say about the Dharma. He talked about our individuality as nobody can fart for us. We have to do it ourselves. That kind of intelligence that is his way. He was also very fierce. This is a tiny little account by Uchiyama. There's a much bigger teaching of his that I don't think we need to go into. That's a document that's about this thick, big pages, in which he rants and raves a lot of times. But this is a little bit more civilized. The more sober you see, the more sober you are, the smaller you see yourself. Just sitting is the highest point that a living man can reach. I just did that. Hey, what are you gawking at? Don't you see? It's about you. So that's a taste. I suggested the little book that came out of Southern California. I've forgotten the name of the man who wrote it. Zen...
Kenneth. Arrow to the Heart.
Thank you. Arrow to the Heart. And I discovered that I'd given it away.
I have it.
You have it. Oh, that's why I can have it.
I'll bring it back. Sorry.
So it's a very quirky, wonderful way of looking at the Heart Sutra. And it has illustrations, little quirky cartoon-like things all the way through that are mysterious and strange and wonderful. And this is Koban's first teachings that he gave 1,000 years ago on Monday mornings. And this was the first thing that Judy put together, or the second one, I guess. And so this is certainly a resource for us that I'm recommending that everybody have a chance to look at, because it's came from when he was very young and very new at English, and Judy has sort of wrought the English into easier to understand, but it still has a lot of that flavor that he brought, so that it wasn't so straightforward. It had a lot of depth as well when he spoke. So this is another version of Wei Neng, translated by Thomas Cleary, who was the translator also of the Vimalakirti that I used as we talked about it. This is also Wei Neng's commentary on the Diamond Sutra that we might consider looking at it, one of these days. Also a very beautiful, insightful collection of words. Then there's Katagiri's beautiful book, Each Moment is the Universe. And this is a long commentary on Dogen's Ujji, of being time. We talked about being time a long time ago. It's a profound subject. Time is still mysterious to everybody in this world. Everybody has theories about what it is and what it isn't. Physicists are exploring it and trying to see how it works. It's a thought thing. It's an ordinary thing with clocks in it, and it has a line, and it goes from birth to death, and we all know about that. But it also is just right now. The truth of it is just the right now part, the being. So that although we have ideas about where we're going next and where we've been, all of those are thoughts about things that don't actually exist. The only thing that actually exists is just here, right now. Here we are. And then here we are again, and here we are again, and again, and again. Wherever we go, we are there. We're already here. So this is a wonderful subject. A beautiful subject to look into. And Katagiri is... This, I think, is the best book that they made out of his teachings. He didn't put the book together. One of his students did. The way they did Suzuki Roshi, the same kind of collection. But this, I think, was very well done. So this is another one. And then the last one is the... Trust in Mind. This is Musong's discussion of the third patriarch's teaching. Trust in Mind, which is famous for beginning with, I don't know how he says it, but I'll look it up. Yeah. The great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. So even if we study just that one sentence, we could do a whole 10 weeks of it. And there's more to it than that. When the mind, the deep meaning of things is not understood, the mind's essential peace is disturbed to no avail. The way is perfect, like vast space, where nothing is lacking and nothing is in excess. This is very heartening. This is very, very encouraging. So, the commentary is fascinating because Musong is a scientist or is very interested in science, and so he brings in contemporary understanding of space and time and how things are, and many different translations of and discussions of. So this is a rich book to recommend as well. So those are the ones that I guess I should give you a taste of Coben's words just so you can hear this. Couldn't wear my glasses and see better. Absolute existence and complete perfect existence are constantly merging and make it possible for a thing to exist. Our understanding can begin from this point, not end at this point. We don't know and we cannot tell the reason of life. Why does water, why does a sip of tea become alive? It is just water. Why does this water turn to my element and actually carry my life? If it is just physical existence, material existence, it cannot become my word, it cannot become some feeling, shine of eyes. Maybe water itself is part of a river which penetrates everywhere. And I am communicating with part of the river, which is called water. And this river's basic nature is penetrating into everything, penetrating not with wetness, but like light, which goes into everything. When it goes into a man's mouth, it becomes man. When it goes into a cow, maybe part of it becomes milk. So that's the flavor of this one. So now y'all have to choose. I'm glad I don't have to choose. So we've got time for discussion. Figuring it out.
How do we choose? Do we have to show hands or something?
Well, you might want to talk about it a little bit and then do a show of hands. Talk about the ones you like or the ones that are most appealing.
Which is the one that's easiest to understand?
They're all just easy as pie.
No, seriously.
You would enjoy all of them. None of them is heavy. It's not like the Lankavatara Sutra that we did years ago. That was kind of tough, but these are very humane and accessible. I know it's hard to choose if you haven't read any of them, but
yes. There are a lot of you were holding up the Platform Sutra, the Red Pine translation, mm-hmm. right? All I could think of was all footnotes. So maybe that was just from the Lankavatara, but are there a lot of footnotes?
Oh, no.
The Red Pine version. Trying to get a sense of, you know, the narrative flow.
Well, the narrative flow is very interesting.
It looks awfully big. That's why I'm asking.
It's big.
Okay.
It is big.
But footnote is.
Well, what he does, it starts in the middle.
Oh, because there's an introductory.
It's a big introduction. Mm. And so he gives the words of Weineng in bold, and then he gives well, this is different from what I remember, actually. He gives, I guess you could call them footnotes. He gives definitions as he goes along. So that is pretty helpful, actually. And then he has a commentary all running through of
that he wrote.
Yeah.
He's pretty entertaining.
He is pretty entertaining. So, and so is Sweeney, for that matter. So you can skip all of those notes because they're right there. You don't have to keep going in the back of the book. Here's the Chinese in the back of the book.
Double the fun.
You would like that. Maybe. Yeah. Paul?
Personally, I'd like to get to know Weineng a little better. I just remember him from Mirrors and Dust.
Yes, that's the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Oh, it's two poems. So Weineng got it all in a row. Two poems. He sent one to the fifth patron. And he had to run out of town because he was elected sixth patron. But the monk Ma, is it Ma, ran after him. And there's a koan about.
Yes.
He wants the teaching of the bowl.
Yes.
So, without thinking good or bad, what's the original face of
what's the
Master
original
Ma?
Face?
And he went there. He asked something.
Yeah.
A little more flesh on the bones would be nice.
We could do that.
Yeah. So, in the order of the books that we just saw, which one was that?
Life Form 2.
Was the first one she talked about and the one I just asked about?
Oh, the first one?
Yeah. Well, that's assuming we do Red Pine.
Yeah.
Which we also have Thomas.
We have Cleary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're voting for Cleary?
No, I vote for Red.
You vote for
I said don't vote for
Yeah, Cleary is more complicated, perhaps.
I do have a personal book. I thought it was Platform Sutra by Red, if I'm mistaken, by Redivine or by Cleary.
Cleary was commentary on the Diamond Sutra, I thought.
Well, he also has one on Weineng.
That was the first one, right? Andrew, what was the first book you presented with the guy that isn't that was not probably educated or couldn't?
That's Weineng.
Okay. And what's the title of
the Platform Sutra. They built him a platform, which there's still a platform there. Mm-hmm. And you can go and see the platform.
And that was the Red Pine.
And it's Cleary or Red Pine.
Why is Cleary a problem? I'm curious because...
I like Red Pine.
I read the Red Pine Heart Sutra and enjoyed that a lot because
There was so much commentary, and it kept bringing in other authors, but the Heart Sutra itself is so minuscule that he had to, you know, put in a lot of commentary. I'm wondering how much of this is commentary versus the actual.
This has no commentary. It has a very short introduction. This is the Cleary. And then it just has the translation, his translation of the Platform Sutra. Mm-hmm. So it's just plain and simple. Mm-hmm. And this is very much more material that comes with it. And if we do this, if we do Wei Neng, I would do both. And there's the original translation, which is falling apart in my library, which is, I don't think you can get anymore by a Chinese teacher. And that's the one that we used with Kogan.
Angie, I think it's interesting that these were discovered in the Dunhuang Caves, I believe.
Yes, they were.
Sutra.
Yes.
And the story about that is really interesting.
Yes. Yes.
Where is the Platform Sutra from? The original...
It's Chinese.
Yes, but when?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember numbers at all. Long time ago.
well, I mean, Wei Neng lived when? I mean, he was the sixth patriarch, so he would have been...
I don't...
700.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, you.
Well, yeah. Just because you said it was found at Dunhuang, that
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
I was going to suggest we just count the number of footnotes and pick the one that had the least footnotes. Now that I know this was found at Dunhuang, that's, for me personally, that's something interesting.
Yeah.
Since I,
yeah.
Studied
Do
something
we
like
have
that.
One go each? We just go for one of the books?
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Well, I go for the controversial guy. The two ones on time. The two last books on time.
The two last books on time?
The Homeless Kodo, is that the controversial?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think one was called Katagiri.
Yes.
And then the last one.
Musang. Just in Mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any? Yeah.
So, what's the story about the cave where the Platform Sutra was discovered?
Oh.
Is that a long story or?
No.
It was discovered in these caves. They're out sort of towards Inner Mongolia. So, and they were like, at least you could say they were monasteries. But people lived in these caves, and they did meditation most of the time. And then there's all of these really wonderful, fantastic paintings. So it's a big tourist attraction, except, yeah, can't go there anymore because the moisture in people's breathing is causing the murals to deteriorate. But it's a pretty famous place. I think it was kind of like lost for a long time.
Yeah.
And then somebody, I don't remember.
In the 20th century,
yeah.
Early 20th century,
found
some guys discovered it, and some of the manuscripts, like this one, I think went to the British Museum. They're not there anymore. A lot of them were taken out by Westerners and kind of.
A lot of them are in France, in Paris.
Mm. Sure.
So.
It was on the Silk Road.
Yeah.
So it was a very busy, even though it was right on the edge of the desert, on this really huge desert. It was a very busy place because people were coming and going into Iran and Iraq and all the Far East, what we call the Middle East, and back and forth. So it was a very busy place and a lot of commerce, and these caves where they, which were also monasteries. And then when it was time for them to leave, some of the caves they actually purposely hid the many, many manuscripts and buried them in the cave, and so some archaeologists discovered them.
And who put them there? The people that wrote them, or
people
who were saving them?
They
probably came from many different places and were considered very precious, and they didn't want them to be lost forever.
Was the idea that these were, like, that people weren't ready for these and that's why they hid them? Was there some kind of story like that?
No, I think it was more like there was some kind of stress and they had to get out of there.
And so it became a centerpiece of Soju Zen only after it was refound, or it had always been?
It was known before, but nobody knew what it was. And then it popped up. And they're still looking for things like that. There's much more material that we've never seen. And maybe we never will.
I'm not sure about this, but I think there were some earlier versions that were, it wasn't like a completely discovered new thing, but I think that those versions had been copied over and kind of corrupted in a way over the centuries. So this was like kind of a lot closer to the original, presumably.
So there was a lot of other stuff that was not related, but like some of the earliest things, it was sort of like a novel, not really a novel. There was no such thing, but some of the earliest written non-classical Chinese literature is phenomenal. But anyway, that has nothing to do with this.
So yeah, we're running out of time. Should we vote now and we can move forward?
We could do that. Shall we do that?
So what we could do is we could give everybody two votes and do kind of an elimination round. Is that what we did last time? We give people two votes.
I think we held up the books and people raised their hands.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But one vote or two? Or do people want one vote or two?
Two votes.
Yeah. Okay, then we might have
somebody will keep track of who's, I mean, how many, what was the most hands?
Okay, can you raise two hands at the same
time? Yeah. Sure.
No, just one vote. One vote per person.
Oh, one vote.
This is America.
Oh, I thought we were doing two votes.
No, you can vote for two books, though.
Oh,
that's, yeah, so you get two votes in the sense of, if you can't really decide, you can vote for two votes. Okay?
Okay.
Are you going to vote, Angie?
No.
Okay.
So this is Wei Neng.
Do vote for Wei Neng. Okay, Wei Neng?
Oh, that's Wei Neng.
Actually, I put my hand
up here. 7, 8. 9 for
Zen and the Way of Being Time, Katagiri Roshi.
Is that the one that you said was time, and the other one was also time?
Mm-hmm.
Those both sound interesting.
Yeah, but they're different.
Yeah.
Trust in Mind.
So that one we had just got two votes, right?
Yeah.
I've got
your
trust in mind.
Trust in mind. 3. 4.
You're 5. Aren't you? Let's do that again. Let's make sure.
Oh, yeah, you get to vote twice. Yeah.
Trust
in
mind.
4 out of 5.
Okay. 5. Kodosawaki. Yeah. All right.
Is that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
the Heart Sutra. Yeah, you can vote twice.
I guess you'd have to. We'd have to copy it, right?
We'd have to copy it, or get copies from Judy.
Five.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's online at Jagoji's website.
Have they put these online? Yeah.
Well, they have a lot online.
Yeah. The platform had nine. Yeah. So when I think they are a clear winner. It's not an it.
So we've got Wei Meng. Is that the winner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Angie, what do you suggest? We buy both the books or one of the books? Any suggestions?
What I could do, since this is so brief, no, it's not that brief. I was going to say I could copy it, but it's not that brief at all.
Do you prefer one of those over the other?
This is more complex. This is more, this is just the straight sutra all by itself. So that's the difference. You get a whole commentary with Red Pine. You get the straight thing with Cleary.
I prefer just to have your commentary. You get the straight sutra.
We can let people choose which one.
Well, sure. They're both available. So you could just decide which one you want, and we can discuss together, because it'll be a little bit different, but just because of the different choices of English. And that's always very interesting anyway, so let's do it. Okay. Super. Thank you all. Also, Vanya came by. Since I couldn't go to Vanya, Vanya came to me and brought some Truff de Cacao Sauvage Limité. So, I brought them for all of us. So I'll put them out on the... We're not supposed to eat in here. So I'll put them outside, and please help yourself with Vanya's blessings.
Next week is our business meeting after our regular session here. You can stay. You're welcome. And we don't have that many business meetings during the year, so this is an opportunity to find out what happens to your Donna and what we're planning, that type of thing.
Wendy's already planning our next session.
Date.
We have the date. We have the cook. I think we're all set. Emily.
You have to come to the business meeting. Sorry. Or wait for the news.
Because if the cook is not good, I'm not coming.
It's a rowdy bunch tonight.
1 minute sit.
All right. Yes, yeah, so 1 minute sit.